There's nothing like coming together as a body of believers with one heart, with one mind, desiring to see Jesus more and more in our lives. And I just want to thank you for coming, and it's a privilege to be able to speak in front of you all, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And just want to encourage you to let you know that, you know, you are truly the beloved son, and you know, your destiny is already been determined, and that is God has already decided before the foundation of the world to conform those who come to the saving knowledge of Christ by faith to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's your destiny.
Amen.
Your destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ Himself. And when Jesus completed the work at the cross, when He said, "It is finished," there is your victory right there.
Amen.
Your victory was achieved at the cross. You have to understand that. Your victory does not come when your prayers are answered for that healing issue or for that financial challenge. That's not where your victory happened.
Yes.
Your victory happened actually at the cross.
Yeah.
You know, all those wonderful testimonies we hear about, you know, people getting healed, people getting, you know, bonuses, you know, financial breakthroughs, or, you know, you got relationship blessings. You know, those are like add-ons. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to put down on people's testimonies, but I just want to let you know, in comparison to the real victory that you have at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are truly highly blessed.
Yes.
Amen.
You have to understand, you cannot rely on testimonies to be the source of your encouragement. As beautiful as it might be, you've always got to fix your eyes on the finished work of Jesus Christ that is at the cross. You cannot rely on people's testimonies or your own testimonies, as beautiful as they are. There are times that there will be fruitlessness. There will be times when there will be, it seems like nothing's happening. And if you put your faith on the testimonies, you will be discouraged. But if you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, who was crucified for you, you will become a person that is being conformed more and more into the reality of who you are in Christ.
Amen.
I want to encourage you, beloved of God, the reason why you are here is because the Father is drawing you to remind you that you are His beloved son in Christ Jesus. You are His beloved daughter in Christ Jesus, and you can enjoy life.
Amen.
And life more abundantly, because your destiny is already predetermined.
Amen.
You are to be conformed to the image of Christ Himself, who has attained your ultimate victory at the cross. It's at the cross that you have your ultimate victory. And the Bible says you are more than a conqueror because you believe.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Specifically in what, Pastor? Believing in this breakthroughs, believing in all. Yeah, sure. Those things will happen. I'm not putting those down. If you're believing for a healing, you know, or for a major breakthroughs in this and that, you know, the Lord is faithful.
Yeah.
All right? You know, whatever your challenges, the Lord cares to the smallest details of your life. Yes, I agree. But remember, you are already more than a conqueror simply because you believe in Jesus and what He has done for you at the cross. You can never forget that. Can never forget that. It's at the cross that the Father is demonstrating His greatest acts of love for you. The eyes have never seen, the ears have never heard, what the hearts have never perceived, was what God has already done for you at the cross. Oh, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus is so, so blessed to be able to see your faces. Yes, there are challenges, there are trials and tribulations, but here you are. You are still standing firm. You are more than a conqueror, and the Lord is pleased with you. And when the Lord sees your face, He just smiles and very happy because you rest in His finished work. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I just want to let you know that today is going to be a turning point for many of you, because today the Lord is going to open up the treasure of His revelation for you so that you'll be able to see the wisdom of God like never before. And the Lord will equip you today with all the spiritual gifts that you need to be able to have a greater victory in your life. Does that sound good?
Yes.
All that is needed is a heart like a child.
Yeah.
Don't come with an attitude of, I've heard that before, mm-hmm. or I know that. Don't come with that attitude, because you're not going to be blessed by that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But come humbly. The Bible says, God gives grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
So get your childlike faith ready. Okay, get your childlike faith ready and say, Papa, you know, I'm ready to receive right now. Amen. I'm just like a little child right now, like a sponge that ready to absorb everything that you have for me today. So Father, open the eyes of my heart. Help me to be able to see Jesus like never before. For this shall not be just another Sunday at Life-Giving Church International. It's going to be a turning point Sunday.
Amen.
Where the eyes of your heart will be open to the wisdom of God to solve whatever problem that's still currently nagging at you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The Lord will give you that wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
I would like to ask you for a favor. I want you to stretch forth your hands towards me right now. And if you know how to pray in tongues and ask the Lord to anoint Pastor Henry so that he can disclose this revelation that we all need. Ready? Let's just pray in tongues for a moment. Heavenly Father, I'm in agreement with my brothers and sisters here. Father, I'm just an earthen vessel. I have no ability in myself to disclose such awesome revelation this Sunday. I pray for the anointing on my lips for the benefit of the church in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Are you ready, church?
Amen.
Are you ready? Okay. So we're going to go ahead and start with this part 7 of Jesus, Our Wisdom. And I encourage you, if you miss part 1 through part 6, you know, we post that online, so you can get that online. But for those who have been coming to Life-Giving Church International, you should be ready for this. It's more advanced, it's a bit more deep, but I believe with a heart like a little child, you're ready. Amen? Let's find out the first mention of the word wisdom in the Bible. It's found in Exodus 28, verse 3. This is from the King James Version Bible. This is the first time the word wisdom shows up in your Bible. And this is what the Lord says. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom. Say, Spirit of wisdom.
Spirit.
Spirit of wisdom. That they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest office. Okay? This is the first time the word wisdom appeared in our Bible. And every time a word appeared for the very first time, the Holy Spirit is telling us there is a significant revelation there for us to gain. Okay? And look, it says, I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. Notice, wisdom is actually a spirit. Because it says, I will fill the person with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. The Hebrew word for that wisdom, the word wisdom is chokmah. Chokmah. That's the noun for the word wisdom there in Hebrew. And it's got to do with the spirit of wisdom. So what I'd like you to see is that wisdom is something that comes forth as we depend more and more on the Holy Spirit to give us a deeper revelation of Jesus and His finished work. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look at the part that I highlight there, which the Holy Spirit teaches. So understand that the spirit of wisdom is the kind of spirit that will teach you everything that you need to know about Jesus and His finished work. And it is something where it will compare spiritual things with spiritual. And our dependence on the Holy Spirit to reveal that truth is indispensable. It's completely, absolutely essential that whenever you listen to this sermon or when you do your own Bible study reading, that you constantly be fanning into flame that gift of the Holy Spirit, specifically the gift of speaking in tongues, because it's what the Holy Spirit teaches. It's not what man teaches. It is what the Holy Spirit teaches. So the more you depend on the Holy Spirit to give you a fresh revelation of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus, the more wisdom will manifest in your life like a fruit, so that your eyes is enlightened and you can have the ability to see things that you could not see before. Amen. Isn't that good? And whenever you are led by the Holy Spirit will cause your heart to be sensitive with the peace of Christ. Did you hear what I just said? When you listen to sermons online, it sounds really good, but in your heart, you don't feel peace about it. You sense like, man, you know, this is, I don't experience the Holy Spirit's joy and peace in me. I encourage you to study the scripture for yourself and not just take whatever winds of doctrine out there and you kind of like a ship being tossed back and forth, back and forth. Learn to allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide and allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. And that's where the real wisdom of God is when you depend on the Holy Spirit. And every one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit is already inside of us. But I encourage you to fan into flame that gift of speaking in tongues, and the Holy Spirit will be able to teach you spiritual things. Spiritual things can only be discerned spiritually, the Bible says. When you start to put in human logic to it, it just doesn't make sense. But when the Holy Spirit enlightens that revelation, I'm telling you, that's what make Apostle Paul, Apostle Paul. He did not study, okay, the scripture, you know, because it's like a college textbooks, you know. Just go by, you know, scholarly mentality to try to gain wisdom from the Bible, from the scholarly logical mindset. Apostle Paul became Apostle Paul because of the Holy Spirit that was teaching him directly. He said, I don't get this from men. This revelation of the grace of God is so awesome that even Apostle Peter, who was with Jesus physically for 3 years, he said, "Oh my goodness, the writings of Apostle Paul is hard to understand." Why? Because he received it by revelation. So, Life-Giving Church International, I'm letting you know that the Lord has a wealth of His manifold wisdom ready for you to discover like a little child playing that egg hunt. How many of you have played the Easter egg hunts before, right? They hide the goodies here and there. And God wants you to have the joy of knowing that as you depend on the Holy Spirit more, the Lord is going to give you a revelation that will set you free. It's not a revelation that you get from men. It's the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit. And when you have the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you have a wisdom that is unshakable. It's a wisdom that your circumstances cannot try to negate. It's a wisdom that is so solid because it's built upon Jesus Christ and His finished work. So I want to encourage you, whatever you study in the Bible, always try to find Jesus and His finished work at the cross. It's not about human performance. It's not about observing the law. It's not about, you know, how I can try harder and things like that. It's all about Jesus and His finished work, and it gives you such peace. It gives you such joy. And don't be surprised that as you're about to have a deeper revelation of the Holy Spirit, that it seems like there are more troubles coming your way. It seems like there are more challenges coming your way. Because the Bible says that as you allow the seed to remain in the good soil, right, it will produce abundance of harvest. But before you get to the abundance of harvest, Jesus said, "Beware of the rocks, the stony ground," in His parable. And then Jesus explains what that stony ground is. Offense, pressure of life, difficulties, challenges, all designed to stop you in your track, because you are running like a champion. You're running like a champion. You cannot be afford to be ignored. And so many times the enemy will try to discourage you by creating trouble, difficulties, or just life itself. It's not necessarily the devil, just life itself is got challenges and everything. But don't give up. Because as you continue to rely on the Holy Spirit and have a heart like a child, "Lord, I want to know You more. I want to know You more. Give me wisdom in this area. A wisdom that's not taught by men, that comes by revelation." And I'm telling you, you'll be able to have the enlightenment in your heart, in your eyes, to be able to see what you could not see before. I hope I'm explaining it in ways that your spirit can feel that the solution to that problem that you're dealing with is just right around the corner. And you just need the Holy Spirit to turn on that searchlight of Jesus, to turn on the light so that you can see what you could not see before. And as you rest in Jesus and His finished work, man, I'm telling you, it will just going to be another testimony for you that will glorify Jesus. Whatever that challenge is, it's been put under Jesus' feet. Whatever difficulties, pressures, the Lord has already won the victory for you. Your part is just to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus by depending on the Holy Spirit more and more. Amen?
Amen.
So if you know how to speak in tongues, you know, keep on fanning into flame as often as you can and allow the Holy Spirit to disclose spiritual truths. Because again, spiritual things can only be discerned spiritually. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is what we really, really need to depend on. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Now, this is the same 1 Corinthians 2:13, but in a Message Bible. So we can see a different nuance of that verse that we just read in a more contemporary language. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learn it from God, who taught us person to person, through Jesus, and we're passing it on to you in the same first-hand, personal way. So you might be hearing truths and revelation from Pastor Henry, but then as you allow the Holy Spirit to make it real in your life, then it becomes personal. It's no longer Pastor Henry says so, it's the Lord revealed this truth to me, that it's all about Jesus and I'm truly His beloved Son. Amen? So it has to become a revelation in your life. In other words, it has to become a revelation. Amen? Got it? It's revelation, knowledge by the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going back to that same verse that we just read, Exodus 28:3. We're going to see another aspect of the importance when the word wisdom shows up for the very first time in the Bible. Remember, the first thing about wisdom is a spirit. It's a spirit. So we've got to depend on the Holy Spirit. But look at the second aspect of wisdom that we can learn here from the first time the word wisdom appeared. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments. Say Aaron's garments. Aaron's garments. To consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest office. Again, this is deep stuff, so, you know, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway because, you know, I can't go back, you know, to the basic stuff all the time. Look at the word Aaron. Who is Aaron in the Bible? He was the high priest of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. Aaron. Okay. Now, again, everything in the Bible, you know, you can find types and shadows of Christ, even in the Old Covenant here. So, who is our high priest today?
Jesus.
So Aaron was actually a picture, a type and shadow of Jesus. And it says, when you are filled with the spirit of wisdom, you are able to have the revelation on this deep stuff called Aaron's garments. Wow, something mysterious, something that is very, very deep about Aaron's garments that we're going to learn today. Why is it so important that God puts it, you know, within the context of wisdom for the very first time? Because for those who have a heart for it, okay, when you understand about Aaron's garments, the garments of the high priest, you see the beauty of Christ that is so wonderful that will set you free. Amen? You have to understand, the Bible says everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. That's what Apostle Paul says. So everything in the Bible, down to the very detail of the high priest's garments, has profits for us to learn. Amen? Okay. So, we're going to look a bit about Aaron's garments. First, I want to let you know that Jesus is our high priest today. It's not just for the Jewish believers. It's for the Gentile believers as well. And I'm going to prove it from Scripture because this is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. So this is in the New Covenant books. Jesus as our high priest. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up His permanent post. Say permanent post.
Permanent
post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. So remember, Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Levi, which is the law. So we are today no longer under the law.
Yeah.
We are under grace.
Yeah.
Our high priest, come on, give a clap offering to the Lord. Amen. Listen. Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek and not under the Levitical law. The high priesthood of Melchizedek only bless and bless and bless. Whereas the other priesthood, under Levitical priesthood, you are blessed only if you obey. But in the Melchizedek priesthood, the first time Melchizedek met Abram after he won the battle, he was, blessed be the God of Abram. The first word was bless, bless. It was just blessing and blessing and blessing and never a curse. Whew! We have such a high priest under the order of Melchizedek that will only bless and bless and bless as we keep on believing in Him. In the new covenant, there's nothing else for us to perform. It's all about believing in Jesus. Because He is the one who has done everything. And He has become our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen? Hallelujah. So we have a high priest today. His name is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, what is Jesus doing as our high priest? This is Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So we have a high priest today that is interceding for us by letting us know that today no condemnation. Amen. For those who are in Christ Jesus, because the context is, who then is the one who condemns? No one can condemn you because Jesus has become your high priest, mm-hmm. sitting at the right hand of God to forever intercede for you. Amen? Amen? So when you have challenges, circumstances in life that tries to point their fingers at you, well, you don't have enough faith, or you haven't been you haven't been tithing enough, or whatever, you know? God says He is the one who is our high priest, right? And He's there to intercede for you, to remind you that you are righteous. Yeah. You are accepted in the Beloved. I don't care what you're going through, your high priest today, who is sitting at the right hand of God, says, I am your new identity today. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And that knowledge of knowing that you are righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, is what allows you to allow that blessing of Christ to manifest more and more in my life. Because under the Melchizedek priesthood, you only get blessed, blessed, blessed.
Amen.
Or like Andrew likes to say, blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. So you are just blessed, blessed, blessed. Okay? Because you are now under the Melchizedek priesthood. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. All right, I promised you I'm going to talk about the Aaron's garments. I don't have time to talk about everything about the Aaron's garments. So I'm just going to focus on the head, because we're talking about wisdom, right?
Yes.
So we're going to talking about the crown that the high priest wore. This is what it looks like. Now, in the Hebrew, that says Kadesh LeYahweh, meaning holiness to the Lord. So, the high priest is supposed to wear this crown on his forehead at all times, God says. This is from Exodus 28, verse 38. So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Deep stuff. Because it says, it shall always be on the forehead of the high priest, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Give me a practical benefits of this knowledge, Pastor. Let me tell you, God no longer judges you based on your thoughts. He judges you righteous based on Jesus.
Amen.
Thoughts.
Amen.
Oh man, I wish I knew this, because I was so defeated in my life. I was so full of sin consciousness. Because I got to admit to you, even though I'm a pastor, there are times my thoughts just like, whoa, where does this come from? And then I felt like, how could I think such a thought? Hey, you are a pastor now. You have been a Christian for so many years now and stuff like that. You know, but once I know the truth,
yes,
God no longer judges me based on my thoughts.
Mm. Amen.
God judges me based on my high priest thoughts.
Amen.
As long as my high priest thoughts are holy, it says, I am accepted before the Lord.
Amen.
So I have good news to tell you, beloved of God. When the enemy condemns you because you have a weird thoughts, just look unto Jesus as your high priest. Amen?
Amen.
Because as long as Jesus' thoughts are holy, you are always accepted before the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What a good news. Amen. What such a rest, such a truth that really sets me free. Any, you know, thoughts that, you know, went haywire and stuff, I don't have to confess them. I don't have to say, Lord, you know, forgive me. This is the 10th time I got the same thought. Now I can just look at my high priest. Yes. Amen. As long as his thoughts are holy, I am accepted before the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why we have a Savior. That's why we have a high priest. Amen. I'm just giving you one example of the benefit of understanding Aaron's garment. You know, a practical application in our lives as we rely on the Holy Spirit to make it into a deeper and deeper revelation. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is so good.
Yes.
Man, this is deep stuff. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Should I end it now or do you want more?
More?
Keep going? Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. I told you the word wisdom is associated with spirit. It's a spirit. Now, let's find the new covenant verse for that. This is from Ephesians 1 verse 17. And this is actually part of Apostle Paul's regular prayers. Meaning that I think it's a good idea for you to make it as part of your regular prayers as well. Because this is what Apostle Paul prayed on a regular basis. And this is what he prayed. I keep asking. So it's not a one-time deal. He said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom. Say it again, spirit of wisdom.
Spirit
of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. So what kind of wisdom that you're asking for? Well, you know, wisdom to fix this toilet problem. You know, wisdom to fix this car problem. You know, wisdom, you know, to solve these challenges. Yeah, that's fine. But look at what Apostle Paul says. The highest wisdom that you are to keep on asking is the wisdom so that you may know Him better. So that you may know Jesus better. Amen? And look at the word know there. It's from the Greek word epignosis. Epignosis. It means precise and correct knowledge. That I may have a precise and correct knowledge of Jesus. Because, you know, right believing will produce right living. Guess what happens if you don't have the precise and the correct knowledge of Jesus? The results will not be right, because right believing will produce right living.
Yes.
Right? So we want that precise and correct knowledge. And how do you think that knowledge would come? By me reading more books and, you know, researching things online and watching more YouTube stuff?
Yeah.
Let me give you a suggestion. Ask the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and give you that revelation so that you will not be swayed back and forth again with so many different winds of doctrines. And I guarantee you, when you have that precise and correct knowledge of Him, your life is going to get better and better. I'm not saying that there's no problems. I'm not saying there's no challenges. But I'm saying that the Lord will give you such blessing that is so uncommon. Mm-hmm. Even though the heat still comes, you do not pay attention to it.
Amen.
In other words, the more you grow in the wisdom of the Lord Jesus, you will be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Even though the heat still comes, you don't see it because the Word is so grounded in your life, and your root is so close to the water of the Holy Spirit that is all about Jesus. And man, I'm telling you, you are blessed. You are really blessed when you are dependent on the Holy Spirit more. Hallelujah. And asking, Holy Spirit, I feel like I'm like a little child that I know very little. I need your help. Okay, even if you've graduated from a Bible college or whatnot, keep having that childlike attitude and say, Lord, I know very little. I really need Holy Spirit to open the eyes of my heart so that I may know my Savior, who loved me, who bled for me, who died for me. And it's all about Jesus, beloved of God. It's all about Jesus. And you are so loved and you are so cherished by your Heavenly Father that you're here. Not everyone has the privilege to hear what you're hearing. This is uncommon gospel that you're hearing. And it's also kind of a deep stuff because we're in part 7 right now, right? Yeah, you learn about the spirit of wisdom. You learn about the garments of the high priest. And you learn about the fact that it's all about knowing Him. Intimacy. Relationship. No formulas. You know? No 1, 2, 3. You know, it's all about flowing with the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm telling you, this is life. And life, it's life, and life more abundantly. And God is transforming you right now under the sound of my voice. That problem, the Lord is fixing it for you. And you can't take credit for it because you're just sitting right here listening to Pastor Henry's preaching at you and washing your feet, telling you that you are righteous, you are the beloved of God, and there's no condemnation for you because you have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, the Holy Spirit in you says, that is the kind of message that you are supposed to be bombarding yourself day and night, because that allows me the freedom to take care of the problems for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Are you guys getting something out of this?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What else do you have, Holy Spirit? This is from Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. Know the mystery of God, namely Christ. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries or, quote, the secret. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is telling us here today? If you want all the richest treasures of wisdom, it's found only in Christ.
Amen.
It's found only in Jesus. That means whatever you hear out there, I mean, I'm telling you, there's so many teachings out there. You know, you can listen to sermon upon sermon online and everything. If it's not glorifying Jesus, it's about glorification of men. You likely are listening to men's wisdom, not the Holy Spirit's wisdom. Because the Holy Spirit's wisdom is all about Christ. Know the mystery of God, namely Christ. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about 10 steps, 7 secret steps for you to be successful entrepreneur or 8 secret whatever. God says it's not about those stuff. If you want the fullness of my wisdom, it can only be found in my Son, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's all about Jesus and His finished work. Man, this is awesome. Praise the Lord. Look at the word know there. It's the same word that we read earlier. It's the word epignosis. Still again, it's the precise and correct knowledge of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how can we ever have this precise and correct knowledge of Christ without the help of the Holy Spirit? Because even after we graduate from a Bible school, we still need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit for the precise and the correct knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
Constantly learning, constantly be dependent on the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22 to 24, while Jews clamor for miraculous demonstrations, and Greeks go in for philosophical wisdom, we go right on proclaiming Christ. Say, proclaiming Christ.
Christ.
Proclaiming Christ, the crucified. Say, crucified.
Crucified.
Crucified. Jews treat this like an anti-miracle. And Greeks pass it off as absurd. But to us, who are personally called by God Himself, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's ultimate miracle and wisdom, all wrapped up in one. Give all glory to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Look, it's all in the proclamation of Jesus and what He has done at the cross.
Yes.
Amen. It sounds foolishness to the world, but to us who are being saved, that means we're getting healthier and healthier in Christ. It is the ultimate miracle and wisdom all wrapped up in one. Oh man. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Amen. Amen. The speech of the righteous bears the fruit of wisdom. That's from Proverbs 10:31. And so, as you keep on hearing the gospel being proclaimed to you, the fruit of wisdom is being birthed in your heart more and more. Amen. Because the word proclaiming there is in the present active indicative. That means it's not a one-time hearing. It's a keep on proclaiming Jesus, Jesus, and what He has done at the cross. It's about Jesus Christ and that greatest demonstration of love at the cross. And what happens is, as you keep on hearing that, it bears the fruit of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, the speech of the righteous bears the fruit of wisdom.